Sufis, the People of the Path, Lecture Number 7, 17th August 1977, at the Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh Ashram, Pune.
Bhagwan, Najrani said, if you say that you can nearly understand, you are talking nonsense. A theologian who liked this phrase asked, can you give us an equivalent of this in ordinary life? Certainly, said Najrani. It is equivalent to saying that something is almost a circle.
Man is not yet man. He can be, but he is not. The potential is there, but the potential has to be actualized. It is not yet a reality. By birth, we are born only into an opportunity to grow. Birth itself is not life. And the person who thinks that by being born, he has already become man, is befooling himself. That is the original sin. That is the only sin there is, to think that you are already that which you can be. Life has to be discovered, created, realized. If you don't realize it, you remain more or less a machine. That is one of the basic principles of Sufism, that man, as he exists, is a machine. But the machine has deceived itself in believing that it is conscious. Consciousness is a promise, but one has to explore it. It is also a task. Consciousness is a possibility, but you can also miss it. Don't take it for granted. It is not yet a fact. You are a seed for it, but you have to grow into it. A seed can remain a seed and may never become a tree and may never become capable to bloom, may never be able to release its fragrance to the world, may never be able to offer itself to the divine. That possibility also exists. And remember always that many miss, only few arrive. This creates an anxiety that man is a promise, that man is an adventure, that man is not yet. It creates an anxiety in the wrong kind of person. Otherwise, it creates joy in the right kind of person. Whom I call the right kind and whom I call the wrong kind? The coward is the wrong kind of person. In the coward it creates anxiety. The very idea of going on an adventure, on a pilgrimage into the unknown, the coward shrinks. He stops breathing. His heart no more beats. He becomes stone deaf to this call, to this challenge. This challenge becomes an enemy. He becomes defensive against it. And the courageous are called the right kind of person. To him, this is not an anxiety. This is thrill. This is challenge. This is adventure. God has called forth. He starts moving. He starts seeking and searching. And if you seek, there is a possibility to find. If you don't seek, then there is no possibility. If you start moving, then one day or other, you will reach the ocean like every river reaches. But you become very, very much afraid of movement, of dynamism, of life, of change, then you become a small pond. By and by you die. You become more and more dirty, dull, stale, stagnant. Then your whole life is ill. Then your whole life is a pathology. And many, the majority, live in a kind of pathology. A modern thinker, Lewis Yablonsky, has coined the right word for this pathology. He calls it robopathology. The man who suffers from it, he calls robopath. Robo means a machine, an automaton. One who lives a mechanical kind of life, a repetitive kind of life, one who has no adventure, one who simply goes on dragging himself. He fulfills the day-to-day demands, but he never fulfills the eternal demand, the eternal challenge. He will go to the office, to the factory, he will come home, he will look after the children and the wife, and he will do 1,001 things, and he will do very efficiently. But he will never be alive. You will not find aliveness in him. He will live as if he is already dead. Robopath is a beautiful verse. Sufis has always talked about this pathology. They have called many names. For example, they say man is a machine. Gurdjieff introduced this Sufi idea into the Western consciousness. Sufis say man is asleep. Sufis say man is dead. Sufis say man is not yet. Sufis say that man only believes that he is. But that belief is a kind of dream. You may remember sometime dreaming as if you are awake. Yes, it happens in dreams. You can dream yourself awake. You can think you are awake. And when you dream in a dream that you are awake, you feel as if you are awake. Only in the morning when you will be really awake, then you will be able to compare notes. Then you will laugh at the ridiculousness of it. The dream deceived you. Sufis say people are not awake. They only believe they are awake. And their very belief is a hindrance for their awakening. If you already believe that you are awake, then what is the need to do anything for it? It is pointless. If a man feels he is healthy, then what is the point of going to a physician? Then what is the point of taking any medicine or treatment? Then what is the point of going in a very, very painful surgery? He believes he is healthy already. Cowards believe they are healthy. because they are afraid of the medicine, of the physician, of the operation, of the surgery. They are afraid of everything. They simply exist in fear. They go on trembling deep inside. They are just protecting themselves. Their whole life is a long story of protection, defending. They don't have time to live, and they don't have energy to grow. This robopathology has to be understood. It is one of the most fundamentals of Sufism. Few things. A robopath is a person whose pathology entails robot-like behavior and existence. He is man only for the name's sake. He could have been a computer. He may be. A robopath is a human who functions insensitively, mechanically, inert in a dead way. A robopath is an automaton. His existential state is not even inhuman. He is not human, certainly. He is not even inhuman. Because to be inhuman also, first you have to be human. His existential state can only be described as the Sufis describe it. They call it a human. It has no human value. Neither this way nor that. He is neither human nor inhuman. He is a human. These are the characteristics of this disease. Ponder over them. Because they are your characteristics. Everybody's. Until you become enlightened, these characteristics will follow you like a shadow. We can define enlightenment as getting out of robopathology. Becoming for the first time consciousness, dropping the mechanical, no more being identified with the mechanical, becoming a witness, awareness, awakenedness. The first characteristic is sleep. You will find the robopath always asleep. He walks, but he walks in his sleep. He talks, but he talks in his sleep. He does many things. He has become perfectly efficient in doing ordinary things of life. But watch yourself and watch people. They go on doing the same thing again and again. By and by, there is no need to be alert about those things. You can simply do them. You need not be there. When you first start learning driving, you have to be there for a few days. That's why it is so troublesome to learn anything. Because to learn anything, you will have to come out of your sleep a little bit at least. Otherwise, how you will learn? So robopaths are never interested in new things. Once they have learned few things, they go on moving in that vicious circle. Their every morning is the same, and their every evening is the same. Every time they eat, or they talk, or they make love, it is the same. They are not needed there at all. It is not through consciousness. They go on doing empty gestures. That's why there is so much boredom in life. How you can remain thrilled with constantly repeating the old? This is the first characteristic, sleep. The second characteristic is dreaming, part of sleep. A robopath continuously dreams, not only in the night, even in the day. He has daydreams, reveries. Even while he is doing something, deep inside he is dreaming. You can find that anytime. Anytime, close your eyes and look inside, and you will find a dream unfolding. It is constantly there. It is like the stars. In the day, they don't disappear. They only become invisible because of the too bright light of the sun. But the stars are there. The full sky is there as it is in the night, exactly as it is in the night. When the sun is gone, you will see those stars appearing again. They had not gone anywhere. They were there, just waiting for the sun to go. In the night, you start seeing dreams. Those dreams don't disappear in the day, because you become involved into 1001 things in daily routine life. They go on lurking deep in the unconscious. You can find any moment, close your eyes, wait a single moment, and the dream is there. Sleep is constantly there. Your eyes are full of sleep. And your mind is full of dreaming. And the third characteristic is ritualism. A robopath remains in rituals. He never does anything through his heart. He will say hello because he has to say, or because he has been always saying. His hello will not have any heart in it. He will kiss his wife, but it will be just repeating an empty gesture. There is no kiss in his kiss. He will embrace somebody, but only bones will touch, and the skin will touch, and he will remain as far away as ever. He is not there. You can be certain about one thing, he is not there. But robopaths are great ritualists. They depend on ritual. They do everything as it should be done. A ritualism is, by its very nature, uncreative. A ritualistic person is never spontaneous. He cannot afford to be spontaneous. If you want to be spontaneous, you will have to be alert. Spontaneity needs one necessary ingredient, and that is alertness. If you are not alert, you cannot be spontaneous. And of course, how you can be creative? You are repetitive. How you can be creative? Even great creators are rarely creative. Even great painters go on repeating their own painting. Great poets go on repeating the same poem again and again. Only very rarely, sometimes, a person creates something. And those moments when creativity is there are moments of spiritual joy. That's why creativity brings so much joy. A creative person is a happy person. An uncreative person is a miserable person. Many people come to me and they ask how to be happy. Where to find happiness? They cannot find unless they become creative. Happiness cannot happen to them. It happens only to creative souls. Create something. Become more spontaneous. Drop repetitions. Let every morning be a new morning. And let every experience be a new experience. Don't think all is old. Rupapets say there is nothing new under the sun. It is all the same, so why bother? A Rupapet, rather than living life, creates a ritual. For example, if he prays like a ritual. He has learned a certain prayer, he goes and repeats it. He goes to the church. He has learned a ritual. There may be a temple by the side of the church. He will not go to the temple. And the temple may be more silent. Or there may be a mosque. And the mosque may be more silent. It is Sunday. All the Christians are in the church. If you really want to pray, the church is the last thing. If you want to pray, you should find a temple or a mosque where there will be silence and more of God. But a Christian cannot go there. He is not interested in prayer and he is not interested in God. He is only interested in a certain kind of ritual that makes him feel that he is a Christian. These ritualists create great problems in the world. They go on fighting, they go on debating whose ritual is the best. All rituals are just rituals. There is no question of being a good ritual or a bad ritual. A ritual as such is bad, ugly. Spontaneity is good. Ritualism is bad. Just the other day I was reading a story. Sedgwick, the eldest son of a respectable Boston family, walked into his father's study one evening and made a shocking announcement. He intended to live openly with his fishy boyfriend on Beacon Hill. "Damn it," exclaimed the parent. "Our family came here with the pilgrims. And we have never had a scandal such as this." "I can't help it," said Sedgwick. "I love him." "But for God's sake," son shouted his father, "he is Catholic." Now that is the real problem. That is the scandal. That is what is heavy on the parents. The ritualistic mind is always like that. It goes on missing the real problem. It never faces a real problem. It creates an unreal problem because it is easy to solve the unreal problem. Remember it. It gives you a good feeling that you have solved it. That's why people love to solve puzzles, crossword puzzles and things like that. That gives you a feeling that you are solving something. It is stupid. Nothing is solved by solving a crossword puzzle. Your life remains as unsolved and as complicated and confused as ever. But it gives a feeling at least you have been able to solve something. Otherwise, there is no need. Life is such a great puzzle. If you want to solve it, solve it. Why create small, tiny, petty troubles and puzzles and then solve them? They give you a good feeling. They make you avoid life itself. Life is too big and dangerous. Solving a crossword puzzle has no danger in it. If you solve it, good. If you don't solve it, nothing is wrong in it. People go on watching other people live. They go to the movie to see other people love. They could go to see a dance, other people dancing. They go to see a wrestling, other people wrestling. People have become spectators. It gives them a false feeling, as if they are part of the dance, are part of the love affair that is going on. And they go on just watching, spectators, dead and dull. Their life is nil. And if you look into their life, you will find them repeating the same motions again and again. I have heard Rabbi Greenberg died and went to heaven. He saw only three people there, reading by a dim light. One of them was reading Playboy, another gallery, and the other Genesis. He decided to see what hell was like. The rabbi got to the devil's domain, and it turned out to be a big nightclub with every kind of music being played. There was an 8-piece Dixieland band, a 30-piece swing band, and all the people were dancing. Rabbi Ginver went back into heaven and asked for an audience with God. "I don't understand it, Lord," he said. "There are only three people here in heaven, and they are all reading. Down in hell, everybody is dancing and having a good time. Why can't we have that in heaven?" The Lord said, "I cannot hire a band for just three people." If your so-called sins are going to heaven, heaven is going to be really a dull kind of place. Avoid it. If by chance you enter there, escape from there. If your Mahatmas are going all to heaven, then it is better to choose hell. There you will find a little more alive people, dancing, singing, living. If you want to read Playboy, you can do it here. What is the point going to heaven and reading Playboy? But that Playboy is also significant. Significant of the robopath. He is not interested in real women. Real women are dangerous. He is interested in pornography. Even while making love to his woman, he will be thinking of other women, actresses, playboy mats, unreal things, false things, plastic things. Even while making love to a real woman, he avoids. People go on avoiding the real. And the pornographers and the people who are obsessed with pornography are not different from the churchgoers. It is the same thing. If a real Jesus is there, you will kill. And if a dead Jesus is there, you will worship. This is pornography, spiritual pornography. People worship the dead and avoid the alive. Because with the alive, you have to become alive. That is the problem. With the dead, you are perfectly happy. You are also dead. There is a communion between the dead and the dead. With the alive, you start feeling guilty. With the alive, you start feeling you are missing. With the alive, you start feeling jealous. With the alive, you start feeling that you have to do something now and that you don't want to do. You want somehow to kill time, pass time. People are passing time. And people are very much interested in rituals. A real prayer is a going inwards. A ritualistic prayer is just a lip service. To face a real master is to face death and to face life. They are both together, always together. To worship a dead master, a Jesus, a Buddha, it requires nothing from you. You can bow down in the feet of an image and you remain the same. Bowing down unto the feet of a real master, your ego has to be put aside. Your ego will create 1001 difficulties for you to bow down, to surrender. That's why people become Christians, Hindus, Mohammedans. These are all rituals. Robopaths live a life of formality. Even their so-called intimate and emotional behavior is ritualistic and programmed. Their activities are all prepackaged. They never do anything on the spur of the moment. Coming home, they think what they are going to say to their wife. Going to the office, they prepare what they are going to say to the boss. They are always rehearsing. It is always a rehearsal. They are always ready, getting ready. And naturally, when you are too much prepared, you miss the moment. You don't hear what is being said. You don't see what is present. You go on seeing in the light that you have prepared. I was a teacher in the university for many years. I was surprised that students used to answer a question that has not been asked at all. Something else has been asked, but they had prepared something else. They were expecting something else. They will answer whatsoever they have prepared. And not that they are doing it knowingly. No. Because their answer is so ready, they will read the question in such a way that the answer fits with it. They will interpret the question in such a way so that it fits with their answer. They cannot afford to read the question as it is. That is dangerous. It may not fit. And they know only a certain answer. They are ready for it. They will immediately start writing the answer. They will not bother even to go into the question. Just a slight change in the question. And their whole answer is wrong. But they will not see that slight change. And that's how it goes on in your whole life. A robopath is very dogmatic. He is always pretending to be certain about everything. He cannot allow doubt. Doubt creates trembling. He believes. He never suspects. Because if you doubt, then you have to inquire. And who knows where your doubt will lead. That's why you see on the earth so many believers and no religion at all. So many believers. Everybody seems to be a believer. Believing in Christianity, somebody in Mohammedanism, somebody in Hinduism. Everybody is a believer. And the world is so utterly irreligious. What is the matter? With so many believers, the world should be blooming in religion. But this belief is not trust, is not faith. It is pure dogmatism. It is just an effort to crush the doubt. It is just an effort to repress the doubt. If you talk to a robopath, you have to be very alert. You should not touch his belief, otherwise he gets mad. He is not getting mad at you. He simply becomes afraid. You are taking the ground from underneath his feet. He has been believing that he knows, and now you are here to disturb him. People don't like being disturbed. It creates anxiety. People are very fixed in their ideas. Life goes on changing, their ideas never change. Just look, the ideas that were given to you in your childhood, you are still carrying, and the life is no more there. Life has moved. The Ganges has flown. Much water has passed. And you still go on believing in your childhood beliefs. Childish, juvenile concepts, you will carry them. That's why people don't grow. A robopath is always past-oriented or future-oriented. He is never in the present. Past is good, because you cannot do with the past. You cannot do anything with the past. Past is finished and complete. The robopath feels very at ease with the past. The past is dead. Things have happened. Now there is no way to change and alter. With the past, the robopath feels in tune. With the future also, the robopath can desire and hope. But with the present, he is very uneasy. With the present, he is very restless. Present brings problems. Past is finished, there is no problem about it. It has settled. And future, you can hope and you can settle according to your hopes in your mind. The future will not create any trouble for you. The future will not say, this is not possible. You can dream about. But the present is the most dangerous space to be. You want one thing and life gives something else. There is always class. You wanted that somebody will welcome you and he didn't welcome you. If you were hoping in the future, there is no problem. The future cannot come and say no. Past is settled. You know it is settled. Everything has happened. It is no more relevant. Past can be classified easily. The future can be projected easily. The only problem arises with the present. The present does not listen to you. It has its own being. That's why the robopath goes on avoiding the present. And the best way to avoid the present is either to remain past-oriented or to become future-oriented. There are two kinds of robopaths. The older type remains with the past, and the newer type remains with the future. The Catholic with the past, and the communist with the future. The so-called religious orthodox people think the golden age was in the past. Somewhere far away, prehistory. And the communists and the fascists think that the future is going to bring the utopia. Somewhere far away, those golden peaks. But they are not very different. These are two aspects of the same robopathology. One thing is similar, that both want to avoid the present. Nobody wants to deal with it. Nobody is ready to encounter it. And life happens only when you start encountering the present. You become aware. Your life starts being new when you respond to the present. And the response has to be completely pure of past and future. The Robopath lives out of the past. Present does not exist for him. There is nothing new. The response of the Robopath is never adequate, cannot be. It is not response to the present situation, so how it can be adequate? It is always inadequate. They react on cue. They suffer from cultural lag. They are never contemporary. Remember well, if here are sitting 1,000 people, don't think they are all living in the same moment. Don't think they are contemporary. Few may be still struggling in the caves 10,000 years back. Cultural lag. Or few may be dreaming of the future. Either you lag behind or you jump ahead, and both are wrong. The only way to be authentic and alive is to be here now. This is the only moment and this is the only space. All else is mind. Reality is here now. Either mind lives in the memory or in the imagination. The Robopath lives memory, lives imagination, but never lives reality. The Robopath is a conformist. Conformity is a virtue for the Robopath, the highest value. His whole idea is how to conform with people. How to become part of the mob and the crowd. And whatsoever value the crowd gives, he follows it. He is a follower. He is an imitator. He never asserts his individuality. He is never a rebel. He is very orthodox in his very blood. He trusts the crowd. He does not trust his consciousness. He has none. When you have consciousness, you trust your consciousness. Then you are not a blind follower of the crowd. The crowd is the lowest consciousness. To follow the crowd simply means a blind man following other blind men, who are far more blind than you are. An individual has some possibility to awake, the crowd has none. Sometimes an individual has become awakened, a Buddha, a Krishna, a Christ, a Muhammad, a Mansur. Have you ever heard crowd becoming enlightened? It has not happened and it is not going to happen. The crowd has no soul. The crowd is absolutely dead. Only individuals live. But the conformist puts his individuality below the crowd. The conformist has only one idea, how to convince people that I am living according to their ideas and ideals. How to have good opinion of the people. The good opinion of the others is his whole virtue, his whole morality. New or different behavior is viewed by the Robopath as strange and bizarre. Freaks are feared. Originality is suspect. Tradition is truth. Obeying is his religion. To be part of the crowd is his goal. He wants to be anonymous in the crowd. He does not want to have the responsibility of being an individual. Because to have responsibility, you will have to have consciousness. It is very easy to drop all responsibilities when you become part of a crowd. A Mohammedan crowd burning a temple, or a Hindu crowd killing Mohammedans, or a Catholic crowd murdering. If you become part of the crowd, you don't have any responsibility. You can always say, I am not responsible. Hindus were going there to destroy the mosque. I followed them because I am a Hindu. But I have no individual responsibility. I had not decided to do it. It was already happening. I was just there and became part. And when so many people are burning the mosque or murdering people, you can always say they are doing it. Even if I am not doing it, it's going to happen. So what? I can be with them. And you don't feel any prick in your conscience. Just think, can you do the same thing individually, all alone, on your own? You will think 1,000 times before you decide to do such a stupid act of burning a mosque or killing a person. But crowds are known to do any kind of thing. It has been one of the observations down the centuries that individuals only rarely go mad. Crowds are always mad.